You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Back for episode number 26.
Jeez, that's a lot of episodes, man.
Got my man Fent in the building. Fent, what's good, son? It's been a minute, son. You ain't make time for us. You out there getting that money.
What can I do, man? Secure the bag. That's what we out here doing.
What's good, though, man? What you been up to? It's been Labor Day. Like, what you been up to?
It's work, man. Just grinding, getting ready for this World Series, the baseball playoffs about to start, NBA season, preseason about to start, football's in full swing, got a quarter of the way football season going. I got some fun evenings and afternoons, you know, just chilling, watching sports. What you been up to?
Yeah, you're right, son. Nothing much. Now, listen, I haven't done a podcast in a minute, and that's because I recently came to the realization that, yo, I hate sports. Nah, son, for real, I've really been dissatisfied with the conversation around sports, and particularly as it pertains to the athletes, and let's be frank, the black athlete.
So where are you listening to these conversations, and who are the speakers of these conversations?
Nah, listen,
that's what we have to look at.
Now, listen. Every other day on TV, I see people complaining about something, what they don't have, and I really just sit back and say, yo, today's athlete inherited so much, and they've really done nothing to advance the movement. And it leads me to ask the question, yo, has sports really crippled the black athlete and kind of stunted their growth? And I think there's mad scenarios across sports where I can point to and say, look, the black athlete his development was stunted. And I wanted to start with Vontae Davis. You saw that dude retired at halftime last week?
So you had enough, man.
All right, listen. Vontae Davis, cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, he retired last week at halftime. He took himself out of the game. He said, Coach, I'm done. Took his bags and went home. Now, you and I both know that's unprofessional. That's not how you treat your employer that's paying you. That's not how you treat your fellow colleagues that are suiting up with you. Right? We know that. We're not even going to debate that.
Nah.
But I tell you, I wasn't surprised when I saw it. I wasn't surprised because Vontae Davis, and I remember watching this live. Back in 2012, he was on Hard Knocks. And he was on the Miami Dolphins. And the Miami Dolphins were about to trade him. And I'm actually play that clip for you guys. Here he is. He's with the Miami Dolphins. And a representative from the Dolphin comes in and tells him, hey, we're trading you. And this is how the conversation goes.
The rumor is true. Okay. We just traded you. Okay. We traded you to the Indianapolis Colts. All right. So, you okay?
Nah, I'm going to call my grandmother.
You going to call your grandmother?
Yeah.
Okay, this hasn't hit the papers or anything like that. Okay, well, why don't we do a little business first, okay, before you call grandma, okay?
Yo, Fenn, did you hear that? Did you hear what I heard?
Man, I had to call home,
yo,
man.
Yo, listen, son. This is in the year 2012. He's about 25 years old. To that point, he had already pocketed $5 million. He's in a billion-dollar business, which is the NFL. And his employer comes to him and says, hey, we're trading you. And the first thing out of his mouth is, I want to call my grandmama. Yo, I remember watching that in real time and being mortified. Like, yo, did he really just say that? This is big business. Yes, that's a strong young man with muscles. But this is what sports has done to our athlete.
But what can he do to the organization coming in and letting them know? At that point, it's been finalized. There's nothing he could go back and do. Fair. You've been traded. Letting you know, suit up, get your stuff, go home, take the plane to Indianapolis to report to your new employers. What is he to do then?
Fan, you got to – there's a lot of – the coach is saying, listen, let's take care of business first. We got to get your apartment closed out. We got to find out where you're going to live in your new city. There's a lot of business that goes on when a player is traded. Okay, so for that man to say, I just want to call my grandmama, that was alarming. And again – this is what I believe sports has done to these athletes. They told these guys they the man since they were 12 years old. And they don't know how to handle any business affairs. So how can we be mad at him when he just says, I'm taking my bag and going home? He was never in a position where he had to learn the skills that you and I had to learn to be a professional, to stand on our own, to handle our own business, to handle our affairs. So now I'm just disillusioned completely with today's athlete. And this is sports, I believe, is stunting their growth. It's arrested development. Yeah, we looking at a strapping, strong young man, but since athletics have been wiping his ass since he was 12 years old, so okay, he's made some money in the NFL, but what's he going to do when his career is over? I'm interested to see now that his career is over, there's no franchise, there's no organization to watch over him. I'm worried about that, man. If when big business come down, the first thing out of his mouth, I want to call my grandma.
Look, man, sports coddles these dudes. Like you said, as you work for the New York Yankees, you told me many of the stories with, like, you basically have to do everything for these guys. And that's what sports does. They take care. It's like horse racing.
You didn't have to do everything for Muhammad Ali. Listen, you didn't have to do everything for Jackie Robinson.
You know why those stories aren't out? Because they wasn't being publicized. And I'm pretty sure they are. I'm pretty sure those guys are going to take it. Everyone has handlers. Fenton, athletes have handlers. They don't even teach you life skills in school. All the money that we paid for college, they don't teach you life skills. All the things that I've learned in school are practically useless.
Yo,
I had to make it on my own and figure out life on my own, not through the things that I've learned. So what the guy said, what, he was 25 years old? He was a young man. You got him by like 6-7 years. He has time to grow and learn too. And look at that young man, his statement, I want to call my grandmama, compared to the press release that he put out after he made a conscious decision to retire. That's two different men. One is a young man and one is an adult.
What did his press release say?
He had a very, very precise statement saying that he spent his time in the league, he took his lumps, he did what he had to do, and he's clear, his conscience is clear, and he's made the right decision for himself and his future to walk away from the game now. It's unfortunate he walked away in the middle of the game and left his team behind. He didn't even have to come out. He didn't want to take the sucker's route and fake it till the end of the game. He said, you know what? I'm done when I'm done. As a man, he made his decision right then and there, said, I'm done. Like, he could have played the game and, at the end of the game, I'm not feeling it. I'm going to retire. He made a grown man move. He pulled up his big boy pants and said, I'm out. Packed up my food, closed my lunchbox, I'm out.
Fenton, you said Jackie Robinson had handlers. My dude, he couldn't even eat in the restaurants with the rest of his teammates. So, no, I don't believe he had handlers. But with this scenario, Fenton, you are not alarmed at all. Hey, adversity strikes. Okay, if you knew at the halftime of that game, you still got to finish it, right? You still got to go to your teammates. You got to tell your coach. There's some level of decorum, professionalism that you and I are aware of and know how to conduct, because we were forced to. We weren't spoon-fed. We weren't on that athlete conveyor belt that says, hey, we'll wipe your ass for you. And my belief is what sports is doing to these guys is going to catch up to them eventually. And we've seen it time and time again. And it's only happening to the black athlete, right? They're getting left in the sauce. They're getting their eligibility zapped up when they go to college, right? Coaches come in and recruit them. Oh, yo, you don't have to go to class. We'll take care of you. Okay, once your 4 years is up, then what? You back on the block. So, again, this is what I say. I've just been disillusioned with sports because the athlete has inherited so much from what other folks have sacrificed, and they're not doing right by it.
Who's made those sacrifices? The same black athlete that you want to come and put down. You're saying people have made sacrifices to further sports or further athletes in sports, and now these guys here taking it and just not advancing it or not running with it.
Right.
I don't want to believe that's true. Like, just a prime example, a young man, 18 years old, LeBron James, gets drafted into the NBA, and look at what he's done. He dragged his boys along and made them top dudes in their businesses, in their enterprises. They're like big dogs now, like LeBron is now in the NBA. LeBron is the NBA.
Yo, Fenton, I was hoping you brought up LeBron. Like, I'm not going to argue with it. When I talk about the black athlete, I'm talking about more than one man. When I talk about the black athlete, I'm talking about LeBron James, who was the top of the top, down to the lowly Division III basketball player or the black athletes that are in high school. I'm talking about as a whole, right? There's so many of us that get lost in the sauce, okay? Because the sports and the environment around them is crippling the black community. Single mothers, parents, if there's a coach that comes in your room, in your kitchen, and tries to recruit your son, and he ain't talking about hard work and discipline and sending that young man to class, if he talk about, yo, we just going to take care of everything and it's going to be all right, kick him out of your kitchen. Because that's not preparing your young son for real life. Those shortcuts, that coddling will catch up to you eventually, right? We talk about Vontae Davis. I want to switch gears to Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett just got milked out of $77 million. Fenton, how does that happen? In your opinion, your own words, how does somebody come and take $77 million from you?
Because Kevin Garnett thought that he could trust his financial people and trust them with his money to ensure they're doing the right thing.
Fenton,
if I have like some investments
Stop. No. Stop right there. Fenton, the answer to that is for being lazy. If you got $100 million tomorrow, you're not letting a whole bunch of strangers come in your house. I know that for a fact. I don't care what kind of expert hat they think that they wearing. Yo, Fenton, I went to Harvard. Give me all your money. Negro, please. Fenton, it's sheer laziness, right? Kevin Garnett, 77. How you supposed to be a fierce, ferocious defender, the most feared man? And it says in the article, KG asked for $40,000 of his own money. And they were like, nah, you ain't got it. Right? We advise against that. KG retired in 2016 as the highest paid player in NBA history at $326 million. It's laziness, right? And this is what, I go back to sports. These kids, especially somebody like Kevin Garnett, who was a blue chip prospect, oh, we'll just take care of it for you. The athletics are crippling the athlete, specifically the black athlete in the black community, is paying for it in the long run. $77 million could have saved how many? Too many lives. There's countries who don't even have a GDP of $77 million. And the fact that, yo, you get all this money and then a whole bunch of people who are not from your community show up and you hand it over to them, Fent, that's sheer laziness, man. I don't know what excuse you want to come up with.
I don't have one for that. You got it, but at the same time, he entrusted people that he thought knew better than him to make decisions that would be better off for him. That's the decision he made. He made the wrong decision. So what can I say to that? He messed up. But it happens all the time. It doesn't just happen to athletes. It happens all the time. You ever heard of Bernie Madoff? He wasn't swindling athletes.
He was swindling lazy entertainers and other folks, right? But I don't care about them. I'm talking about the athlete, son. Listen, that $77 million could have saved too many lives. So look, Fed, $77 million down the drain. My belief is just out of sheer laziness, right? I tell you time and time again, when I was in these professional locker rooms, and I say, yo, man, this paperwork just came down from the league office. You should look at it. They signed it before they even read it. And run off. So if that's how you handle affairs outside of this building, you in trouble.
Yes, indeed. But they say somebody that they know they can trust. You coming down with paperwork for them, an employee for the business and the organization. They feel comfortable with what you're doing. Like my employers right now. You think they look at what I put out there in front of them to sign? No. Blind trust. Sign it. Send it away. And what we deal with is millions and millions of dollars at risk. And they just sign it, and I send it off to court. So you have to be able to trust the people that's around you. Unfortunately, he has some snakes in his camp.
Yo, I bring Fenton in here because he, you know, it's a way of raising my credibility to the audience. You know, I can't just come in here and say whatever I want to say. I got somebody that's known me for 25 years. You know, he'll hold me accountable. Now, I want to hold him accountable. Yo, Fenn, who are you letting in your life? If somebody give you $100 million, like all jokes aside, I need my man F Boogie from PS233 from My 11.
I'm not giving nobody a cent of that I can't
Yo,
trust.
Yo, and okay, and if we talk about somebody trust, we not talking about some suit and tie guy that you just met.
No, absolutely.
Exactly. So for Kevin Garnett and any of these athletes, I don't care how well-versed you are, what college degree, that's not an excuse anymore, okay? You can stand over the shoulder of somebody. You can ask a million and one questions when these contracts break down, okay? 50 Cent is the only person I ever heard in the history of entertainment to say, yo, people, they always talk about my success. They don't see the hardships. They don't see when I lock myself in my house for a weekend and read a contract. He's the only celebrity I've ever heard say that. And I said, thank you. Finn, if somebody hand me a contract, I'm giving you a copy, man a copy, Kamoy a copy. We locking ourselves in the crib, and we are going over it. Okay? It's sheer laziness. I don't feel bad for any of these guys that are getting robbed. And it's because they're on this professional athlete conveyor belt that is crippling. You see, I always talk about Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali. They knew the hardships. They saw right in their face. So they's like, man, I got to have my ducks in a row. Today's athletes, everything, the sun is shining, so they don't think they have to handle business, right? The racism, the sexism, all that stuff is not as blatant. So they think it's a vacation. Nah, dog. It's still sacrifices. It's still hard work that needs to take place. You got $77 million you need to guard with your life. If somebody's over there having a roundtable meeting discussing your money, you need to be there. You're going to have to skip the Hard Rock Cafe or wherever they're hanging at in Vegas. Nah, you need to handle your affairs. It's not about education. It's sheer laziness.
But if that's the life that they've known, people taking care of them and people taking care of their business in their interest, you get accustomed to that. I understand that. But I ain't saying it's the best lifestyle, but they're programmed to live and work in that environment, in that setting.
In fact, I think that's my point. That's why I'm just disgusted with professional sports. The things that people are complaining about, the things that are happening around them. Like, yo, you got to put on your big boy pants. And, yo, I got a tattoo on my arm. It's a guy looking in the mirror with the gun. Now, of course, if you're looking in the mirror with the gun is pointing back at you, right? And it reads, my own worst enemy. That means when I get up every day, my life, good, bad, or indifferent, it's because of me. I can't feel sorry for anybody anymore.
I never said to. I'm just telling you what happened.
I'm well aware. So I am well aware. And you talk about LeBron James. LeBron James is a miracle. I don't know where he got that business acumen from. Maybe it was some role models he had in his life who said, stay on your own affairs, young man. He wasn't allowed to be. He wasn't crippled by the system. He could be a spoiled brat, but they always talk about how LeBron James is cheap. Hey, if it's my money, let me see where it's going.
He has every right to. Shaq couldn't get out of college in his second year because he couldn't balance a checkbook. So, like, there are people that tell you and show you the right way.
So this is what
it's
I wanted.
It's unfortunate that KG didn't have somebody to show him the right way that let people to take advantage of his money. That's circumstance, man.
Right. And I think it was Vin Baker. They had a story. He was working at Starbucks after losing $100 million, like a feel good story. No, that's a tragedy, son.
But it was his Starbucks that he owned.
I don't know about that. $100 million could have saved. But Finn, that's the point of the show. I'm trying to raise awareness. I'm talking to that single mom who the coach comes in her and sits in her kitchen. Don't worry, we got your son. I'm talking to, like, even with D. Rose, rumor has it he didn't take his SATs. Okay, D. Rose made some money in his life. All right, cool. I'm interested to see how he looks post-career. You know, after his sexual assault case, Adidas ain't too fond of him. You know, he's said some dumb stuff in the media. That money, he ain't on the same pace as Kobe and LeBron. You know what I'm saying? That conveyor belt, that coddling, I believe, has crippled somebody like him. And it's going to be interesting to see and sit back and see if these dudes strive. Right? Disgusting, man. KG, you supposed to be big, bad KG, and you had to ask for $77 million. You had to ask for your own money. Excuse me, can I get $40,000 out? What?
Maybe the $40,000 was to go blow it in the strip club.
Man, it's your money, son. And let me tell y'all something else about professional athletics, right? So KG, he makes $326 million on contract, right? That's what he makes. In the collective bargaining agreement, when you go on a road trip, The franchise gives you like $129 a day meal money. Anytime you travel during the season, you get reimbursed. Right? You're getting all this meal money. Not to mention they providing a meal for you. Not to mention you a star. If you go to the restaurant, you're probably going to eat. So there's, outside of your salary, there's all kind of money that's going in your hand. Right? So when you hear athletes say, yo, I'm not even going to spend my salary. I might just live off endorsements and this, that. It's possible. So for KG to have that financial issue is disgusting, man. And it's all because of the system, man. Vontae Davis don't know how to act like a professional. Why? Because he never had to. And we talking about professional athletes who, you know, they'll probably be all right. Be honest, they'll probably be right. But again, like I mentioned, I'm talking about all these athletes. The black high school athlete, now, he don't want to go to high school unless he got a guaranteed spot in on his high school team. What?
I could appreciate that. You know what? Why? You know why? Because
what happened to working for stuff?
A colleague of mine, his son, plays football, varsity football, defensive line, plays offense and defense. He's a senior now. So the coach has the mindset of running these seniors to the ground. He don't want to take them out. He don't want to give the young guys any run. The coach's response is, these are my guys. They're seniors. They're scouts out here. I want to get them looked at. So I would, as a high school athlete, maybe going into a situation where they won't get any run, you might not want to go to that school. Why spend your junior, senior year on the bench because you're not the coach's guy? You're a transfer student. That's the time that you make your mark, where you get looked at and where you make an investment on your future for college.
Yo, who would you consider as the greatest basketball player of all time?
Kareem.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah, good. Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Yo, as we all know, Michael Jordan was cut from his varsity team. That episode in his life produced a fire in him that is still burning. Okay? These lessons, these life lessons, valuable lessons are what carry you to be not only a great athlete, but a great human being. So these kids that are running from school to school and coast to coast, they're missing out on that lesson. And again, that part of sports is crippling our folks.
I mean, it's crippling MJ too. That's his curse as well. His gift and his curse. Let MJ go to the casino and take a loss. He ain't leaving till he bought a place.
You stupid, son. You stupid. But that fire burned not only on the court, but into business.
Of course, of course. And it fueled him to be the successful athlete and entrepreneur that he is. But at the same time, like,
yo, give me the real. You don't think this stuff is really having an effect?
Oh no, it does. It has a terrible impact negatively, but it also,
these guys, they're getting coddled. How can they go on to be great husbands? How can they go on to be great fathers? Like, it's the athletics. What they're doing to our athletes is having an effect on their community at large. It's trickling down.
They're athletes. That's not who they are. That's what they do. So playing sports professionally does not define the man that they are, the men that they are, and or the women who they are. I can't say that being coddled as an athlete and being carried through life, high school, college, and the pros, is going to affect your ability to be decent businessmen and decent human beings.
You can't
say happens.
That.
It happens, but this, out of, let's say there's 1,000 professional athletes throughout the entire, all our lifetime.
Right.
The percentage of the guys who mess up, I give it 10%. There's not everybody's going to be a super success, but not everybody's going to fail so tragically like the Vin Bakers, the Antoine Walkers, these dudes. They're few and far between. There's more success stories than absolute failures.
Right. Okay. But keep in mind that, I'm coming down to the college athletes as well, right?
That's a bigger pot. That's a bigger pool of players.
I'm talking about all the black athletes. I said from LeBron down to the kids in the hood here trying to get into high school, right? There are too many cases from my day, from when I played, of people who played 4 years of college basketball who weren't close to a degree. Who a coach came in and let the guy take basket weaving for 4 years just so he could stay eligible. Now that kid don't have a scholarship. He can't play basketball. He don't have a degree. He back home on the block with just memories.
Those are good memories, man.
Unable to produce, unable to provide for his family. Now he in jail. There's too many stories of that. And that's why I'm saying we, parents, leaders, coaches. I just got a new job. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. And recruiting is going to be a part of it. Yo, this is my recruiting pitch right here, fam. Yo, you want to come play for us? It's going to be hard.
Hard work?
Yo, it's hard work, son. That's my recruiting pitch. Yo, it's hard. You know why? Because life is hard. But if you up for it, we get it done. It's going to be class. It's going to be workout. You're going to have to earn your spot. For me to go in there and tell you otherwise, you're going to pay. I'm not doing you any service. And that's why I'm saying we need to stop letting outsiders come in, especially at the young age, and just handing everything to our children because they're not doing them any justice.
I mean, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, but that's also a part of the system. This machine that NCAA, quote-unquote amateur sports, funneling these athletes to the pros. So these guys are coming in, getting coddled, like you said, basket weaving for 12 years, you know what I mean? 5-year eligibility with red shirt, and they play for 20 years, and they can't do nothing after their career.
Right.
But you know what's unfortunate? They made millions and millions of dollars for the institutions that they played for, and what they got? Memories. So, like I said, if the you don't have to pay them. No. Let me get through this point. You have to. People are compensated for what they do in life, or what, you know what I mean, what their professions are, whatever their role is. They're compensated for it in some degree, in some fashion. Maybe your opportunity or your ability to play for this college entity or this high school entity put you in a position to be where you are later on in life, and that's your compensation, right?
Right.
But if the operation at a whole is doing something that's going to kill you, like the guys who worked on all these buildings back in the days, so all these firefighters and first responders who ran into the World Trade Center when it was going down, and now they have all these kind of crazy cancers.
Right.
And they're not being compensated accordingly. They're not being taken care of accordingly. But they did their job, and they ran into those buildings. Do you know why? Because that was their job. These players are doing their jobs, and they're running 100 miles per hour for these teams, and nothing. And they're being left to the wayside. Why? Because the machine, that's all it's about. This machine just keep cranking out people, cranking out and making money.
I'm with you. But, Fan, let me ask you this. At what point do you sit back, survey the landscape, and say, oh, that's the rules to the game? Well, I'm going to learn how to play and learn how to manipulate them to be in my favor. Okay? So, if you refer to NCAA athletics, people making all that money. Well, if I'm not privy to that money, if all I get is this education and this network and this platform, well, I'm going to make it work for me, right? You can't continue year after year and play the victim. Oh, they're making money over there. At some point, and I'm asking you, at what point do you sit back, survey the landscape, and say, boom, I'm going to make best use of what I do have so I could be a success. I'm going to do what Puff Daddy did when he was an intern at Uptown. Even though the CEO is making XYZ, I'm going to use this platform to get where I need to be. What point?
Everybody has to make that decision for themselves.
All right. That's my point, fam. And that's who you are. You know how to move in a room full of vultures.
I mean, that's me. I'm not a professional athlete getting coddled.
And that's my point. We need to make sure we passing down these lessons. Not stop letting our athletes take shortcuts because they're going to pay for it. And ultimately, the community is going to pay for it. Our sisters, our daughters who are dating these guys and think they're about to start a family. Like, it's trickling down to everybody. We all feeling it. And it's disgusting, and I'm tired of sitting back and saying, yo, the financial advisor robbed me or my coach misled me. Nah, take accountability. Like I said, my own worst enemy. But I wanted to move forward to this next topic, which, again, has me disillusioned with sports. Deshaun Watson, quarterback for what team is that, Fent?
Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. So this guy, dudes is bold. I give him that. This guy, what's his name? I didn't even write his name down.
I think he's a coach or athletic director.
Nah. He was just, He was a superintendent at a local school, and he jumped on, you know, they have articles online and you could comment. So he jumped on an article in the Houston Chronicle, right? He thought it was private, right? And he said he's a school superintendent in Houston. And this is what he said about Deshaun Watson's performance the other day. He said, "That may have been the most inept quarterback decision I've seen in the NFL. When you need precision, precision decision making, you can't count on a black quarterback."
Haters gonna hate.
Now, Fenn, is this safe to say you were unhappy with those comments?
I mean, I never like when people try to characterize people based on their appearance. That's not fair to anyone. I bet you he wasn't complaining when Deshaun was balling out the first half of last year. He probably had two Deshaun jerseys, a home and away.
Let me ask you this question though about this, about what he said. He said when you need precision, decision making, you can't count on a black quarterback. Now, Fenn, I want to ask you, how much time, how much energy did you devote to thinking or examining and analyzing whether his statement was right or not?
I don't have to, because the statement is, a blanket statement like that is generally 100% wrong. Okay. All I heard was you couldn't trust a black quarterback. And this is the first time I'm getting the whole statement. Okay. And his whole statement is wrong.
Okay. Yo, next year, February 3rd, 2019, my brother Fenton and I will probably be somewhere with a whole bunch of nachos, some wings, and Fenton's case, some brews.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we're going to sit down and watch Super Bowl 53, God's willing, right? 53 Super Bowls have taken place, Fenn, or will take place come February. Mm-hmm. How many black quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl?
I don't have the stats on that.
All right, I'm going to give you the answer. It's two, right? That's Doug Williams and Russell Wilson. And what's most alarming about that number is there's only been two in 53 Super Bowls, yet probably the best athletes to ever play that position have all been black. You want to talk about Randall Cunningham, Cameron Newton, Michael Vick, Dante Culpepper, Steve McNair, Warren Moon, Troy Smith. Like, there's been so many black quarterbacks, but yet Vince Young, only two have won the Super Bowl, right? So, again, this is my issue with sports. Everybody is up in arms because this dude said, well, you can't trust a black quarterback, right? We become reactionary. But yo, F what he said. Let's be proactive. Why haven't we represented well or better at the quarterback position over time? We forget about Colin Kaepernick. We've had the athletes, right? We always refer to Cam Newton as an athlete, this is that. But nobody ever talks about him studying, his accuracy, precision. Nobody ever discusses that with the black quarterback. And that's my frustration, because a long time ago, NFL franchises wouldn't even draft these guys. They wouldn't even draft them, wouldn't sign them. You mentioned Hall of Famer Warren Moon. Warren Moon came out of the University of Washington, and the NFL simply wouldn't draft him. So Warren Moon had to pack his bags and go north of the border to Canada.
Balled out.
He won five of their championship trophies, which is called a Grey Cup. He won five. In the prime of his career, he's playing in Canada. Finally, the NFL gave him a shot. He comes down here to America and has a Hall of Fame career. Mind you, he spent five of his prime years, yet he was still able to come down here and have a Hall of Fame career in the NFL, right? So that, going through those trials and tribulations, having to leave the only home he's ever knew, go north of the border, that opened up the floodgates. NFL franchises were more willing to, hey, let's sign us a black quarterback. In fact, let's draft us a quarterback at number one. Let's give $100 million contracts to the black athlete. The floodgates were open. Warren Moon paid that price. And how was he repaid? Michael Vick is quoted as saying, damn, if I would have studied more, probably would have won a ring. Right? So y'all want to get upset about some white dude, what he said on the board? Forget that. That's reactionary. Let's be proactive. I'm more alarmed and hurt that Warren Moon went through those sacrifices, and we get to this point where they're now drafting black quarterbacks. They hand the franchise over to black quarterbacks, and Jamarcus Russell can't stop drinking lean. Michael Vick, the only NFL player to sign $200 million contracts at the time, going to tell you he was probably more focused on dogfighting. True story. He said that. Fent, go for it.
All right, so like you said, Warren Moon balled out in the Canadian League, won five championships.
He sacrificed. He paid the price for today, for Donovan McNabb, for Michael Vick, for Cam Newton.
Yes, had a Hall of Fame career in the NFL, and what? Everybody recognizes Warren Moon as probably one of the top quarterbacks that ever played a game. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. The best quarterback that they said probably ever played a game, Dan Marino, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Peyton Manning, one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. He barely won a Super Bowl. And then he didn't, I don't think he was alive. He was just in his uniform for the second Super Bowl that he won. You know what I mean? His brother never looks like he's awake on the field, won two Super Bowl, beat somebody that they claim is the best quarterback to ever do it. And his first Super Bowl, they won it in despite of Tom Brady. So a lot of these dudes that you're saying can't do it or haven't done it or never reached the pinnacle, these black quarterbacks, it's not on them. Football is a team sport, and there's so much things that's happened in football. One person cannot carry a team to victory. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you do on the field. Aaron Rodgers don't kick field goals. Aaron Rodgers don't play defense, and he's supposed to be the best there is right now. Maybe Michael Vick would have, like, post-career, you say all these things. Maybe hindsight is always 20/20, but you can't speak about the guys who do study, the guys who are in the locker room, the guys who are doing what needs to be done, the McNairs, the Donovan McNabbs, the Randall Cunningham. These dudes, you never heard them say, people say, oh, they're knuckleheads, or they didn't study, or they didn't take the game seriously. No, these dudes work. You just can't climb over the top. It's not that easy. Look at
Fenton,
the person that everybody considers the greatest of all time, Jerry Rice. He should have a million Super Bowls. And the time, but he should have won his last Super Bowl and retired. They played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and some guy, some coach, who stole $100 million this year, beat them.
They played
the best football in the postseason that I've watched for something, and they lost in the Super Bowl. It happens,
listen,
man.
Listen, the names that you brought up, I think they help buffer my point. I'm currently studying for a doctorate degree in global sport leadership. And to a man, the books that I'm reading, great books, John Wooden, books on business, they talk about success. And success is not what you do, but what you do with your ability. So the fact that an immobile Peyton Manning with a noodle for an arm late in his career, the fact that he can pull off two Super Bowls when Cam Newton is as fast as a wide receiver, as big as a linebacker, as strong as anybody on the field, he has all that ability, and he can't get one? When Michael Vick, Michael Vick might have had the greatest Nike commercial ever, where they liken being Michael Vick to, like, a Six Flags ride. They strap you, like, he's doing spin moves. Michael Vick was a video game character. The speed, the arm. So Eli, goofy-ass Eli, who could barely move, who has that aw shucks looks on his face, no athletic ability. The mere fact that he could pull off two and Michael Vick can't sniff the game, that buffers my point. Because we've had more ability and we haven't done much with it. Warren Moon paid the price, Fent. And you guys want to get up in arms because some dude jumped into Facebook? No, I want to raise accountability. I want to raise the standard of my own people. I don't want to be reactionary. I'm disappointed that Vince Young couldn't stay out of the club fighting. I'm disappointed that Michael Vick said he was more into his dogfighting than his playbook. That hurts my heart when Warren Moon had to go north of the border. And now franchises are finally at the point. Well, yo, let's draft him number one. Right? When Doug Williams had to go to Tampa Bay, leave the NFL, and come back, win a Super Bowl. When we get to the point, they put in all that hard work to get to the point where guys like Michael Vick can get this payday and this platform and this stage, and you squander it? Son.
How did Michael Vick squander his opportunity besides going to jail? Wait a minute. Like I said, it's been times where you just can't do it. Michael Vick's best chance to get a Super Bowl, he got hurt. But man, he got hurt. What are you gonna do? Football is a violent game. When he has the best team and almost the best record in the NFC, he got hurt. Like, you can't blame, like, Donovan McNabb had a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Why is Cam Newton up and down?
Because Cam Newton's not a good quarterback.
Okay.
He's not a good quarterback.
But he's probably the most talented we've ever seen. Fact or fiction.
He's
what is untapped potential? Failure. What is unrealized potential? A failure.
If you put somebody in position to do something where they don't have the ability or the capability to do it, they're going to fail. Cam Newton is not a good quarterback. He's an athlete. He's not a good quarterback. Donovan McNabb was not an athlete, but he was a better quarterback than Cam Newton. He doesn't have the strength and the arm talent as Cam Newton, but he was a better quarterback than Cam Newton. Michael Vick is probably the best athlete to ever play the quarterback position, but he hasn't won it. Why? Because of his size and his inability to stay on the field when they need him. Like, and then obviously when he went to jail. But you know what I mean? Like, you can't say that they're not succeeding because what they're doing or their untapped potential is the reason why they're not doing what they need to do or they're not advancing or taking over. Football is 11 on 11. A lot of factors come into play with football. You can't not say that it's because the black athletes are not doing what their counterparts are doing and they're not succeeding. The Vince Youngs is quitting the sport. The Jamarcus Russell, he's not a good quarterback. He was never a good quarterback.
Yo, Warren Moon went north of the border. So, guys like Vic can get drafted, right? Guys like Geno Smith can get drafted.
Circumstance. Geno Smith is actually a good quarterback.
For Geno Smith to be given the starting job of the New York Jets, and he misses a meeting in California because he was watching Gone Girl and his phone was on East Coast time, but he should have been. Fan.
That's a clown move on him.
That's a clown move, bro. And this is what I'm saying. If your mom and your dad got up every day and bust their ass, which they did, so you can have the opportunities to go to school, and you squander it, we got a problem. You being disrespectful to those that came before you. You not taking advantage. You being a spoiled little child. You don't understand the trials and tribulations that people, the dues that people pay for you to have with you, the platform you are. And that's all I'm saying. I'm disgusted. Yo, son, niggas be front. What else we got? Who else is pissing me off? NFL Hall of Famers. Did you see that, Fett?
Shout out to T.O. and the Hall of Fame inductee, man.
Yo, I'm being punked, right? This is a joke. So a group of NFL Hall of Famers are threatening to boycott the ceremony if they do not get health insurance, lifetime health insurance, and they want an annual salary of about $300,000. This is a joke, right?
Nah, that was kind of amusing.
Yo, oh my God. Yo, the last couple of months, every Hall of Fame came out the woodwork and said, man, T.O.'s disrespecting our house, man. He don't want to show up to the ceremony. It's our house. It's so prestigious to be in there. And now y'all ready to boycott as well?
Well, you can't say all of them as a whole. There's a few guys. They're starting a Hall of Fame, like, union.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? And what they're asking for is not invalid, but the way they're going about it and the ask is kind of is kind of ridiculous.
And this is my thing again, reactionary versus proactive, right?
No, they are very reactionary.
Your career is over, right? So listen, first off, the Hall of Fame is led by Eric Dixon. They come out, they got a group of people. Yo, man, this is unfair. Jerry Rice and Kurt Warner, their name was on the list. They was like, yeah.
Those dudes still collecting the bag.
Yeah, like,
they get paid by the NFL.
Right? So you're showing that you're disorganized there, right? You're stumbling over each other. People that were supposedly on the letter, making this claim, making this threat, two of them backed out. Like, yeah, you guys got it right. So you look crazy because there's infighting there, right? Fenton, my brother, he has worked in the law profession for a long time. Yo, if you want something, you do it at the negotiating table when you have leverage, right? All of these guys that are on this Hall of Fame board, in the prime of their career, when money was at its highest, they didn't care about negotiations. They were on the beach. They was like, yo, the money is good now. They saw the short term, right?
Well, a lot of those dudes that you mentioned probably were on the were in the league during the strikes. So you can't say that they didn't. They have.
I read that, and they said Eric Dickerson, who's the head of this board, they said he crossed the picket line. He's like, nah, I got to get back to my money. I'm not losing on a paycheck.
Yo, it's hard out there. What are you going to do with no money coming in?
So that's my point. You're going to pay for it eventually. This is my whole point. Yo, you're going to pay for it eventually. This is my trump card. Muhammad Ali considered the greatest of all time. In the prime of his career, he went 3 years without an income because he wasn't going to war. He was standing up for – if the greatest of all time – had to sacrifice. Who the hell are these dudes think they are that their career could go off without a blimp?
Yeah, everybody's situation different, man.
Fent, no, seriously.
I'm not saying what you can't compare apples to oranges, man.
They're like, not willing to pay any price.
You're comparing apples to oranges. You know why? Because those are team and league sports, and Muhammad Ali is an individual. Muhammad Ali is an individual, one entity. He has his own franchise. So he could make the sacrifice and say, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm going to sit out. I'm not saying anything he did was wrong. I totally commend what he did and what he stood up for. He stood up for what he believed in. But the NFL as a whole, you can't do that.
Of course you can. Your voice counts.
Not in the same way.
Of course you can. All right,
so me, one player on a 53-man roster, you know what? I'm not going to show up. I could be Tom Brady. I'm not going to show up. I'm gonna strike, whatever. They're going to be like, all right, cool. Who's the backup? That's it. You know what happened when they struck? They got some random dudes to come and play.
You got
to
fight, man. This is what I'm saying.
I'm not saying no, but I'm just saying, like, the reason, those two fights is different.
It's not.
You're comparing heavyweights to featherweights. It's different. It's different. It's a whole different league, a whole different game.
Man, how can you ever negotiate if your opposition knows, yeah, they're going to cave?
You can't. But at the same time, like I said, it's a whole entire NFL. How much ever players, how much ever teams versus one man entity, one man show in a professional boxer? Like, I could sit out and I could do what I had to do. Like, Conor McGregor, he doesn't have to fight anymore. UFC came to him and begged him for that contract.
The MLB is strongest baseball union, strongest union out there. No salary cap, right?
I'm pretty sure they have flaws in their contract.
It came because folks was willing to sacrifice, right? The NFL players, for whatever reason, now the Hall of Famers are looking for something as well. You had ample time in your career to organize, to fight, to do without, and you were not willing to do so.
And also, you got to look at these people who struck and who's negotiating. They have leadership. So there's a handful, a collection of dudes that you put in place to speak for you on your behalf, to organize and fight for the things that you believe are at the time.
The NBA is as great as it is with the revenue sharing and the guaranteed contracts because Jerry West, Bill Russell were willing to sit out all-star games, were willing to fight. These NFL players be like, yo, I'm about to miss a check. Let's go back.
They're not making the same money.
I'm glad you're there. I'm really glad you're there.
You talking to a thousandaire to a millionaire? That's not the same money. I could have made my whatever salary for 1958 and sit out 1960 and 70, but those dudes in the NFL are making a different money and less money than the NBA. Yes, you're looking at me crazy. Yes, there's less money going around in the NFL to compare to what the NBA is doing, what the NBA is handing out. So, yeah, maybe some dudes could put a little war chest away and fight that fight, but not everybody could do that.
I'm glad you brought up the case of money.
Vontae Davis. What is he making? $5 million this year. You know what? You know what? I'm out of here. The year that he got traded, you said he made $5 million to his career, and he wasn't a rookie then. Like, these dudes ain't making big money. Like, NBA players making $5 million a game.
So you made $5 million this year?
Nah.
Nah, serious. You made $5 million last year?
Nah.
The year before that?
Nah.
See, this is the thing. This the more I think about money, the more I realize how it's just a charade. Because if we lived in a village, Fenton, where your wife is going to educate the children, my wife is going to make our clothes, you're going to go to the forest every day, make sure we got wood and stuff for the fire in our house, I'm going to go to the lake and fish so we can eat. How much money do we really need, right? So that's an extreme case. But if $5 million is not enough for you to sacrifice, for you to sit out a year It's because this money we talk about that we feel like we so desperately need, it's because we always chasing something else. We need to be buying somebody else's clothes, somebody else's cars, somebody else's neighborhood.
Or they're supporting an entire family.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there.
Or community they're supporting. Absolutely. You don't know what those checks pay for.
Absolutely. Now, that $5 million, if we said, yo, bump the NFL and we created our own league, right? You say, yo, Will, the money's not the same. I could make $20 million in the NFL, but if we created our own league, I'll only make $5 million. But if I make $5 million in my own league and I could pay my brother to be the general manager at $5 million, then we all good. See, that $20 million from the NFL, we need so much money because we don't own anything. We don't have any infrastructures under us that we can rely on. You're absolutely right. So it's like a rat in a Ferris wheel, like in a hamster wheel, running in circles. Yo, I gotta keep running to get the money. No, you need to take a breath and let's fight for ownership. Let's fight to build infrastructure under us. Yo, I just gotta get the biggest paycheck. No, son. If we had flourishing communities, Yo, you see when these businesses, these corporations, when they about to go belly up and they struggling, what's the first thing that happens? The CEO says, yo, cut my salary in half. I'll make $1 this year. Because as long as he got that infrastructure under him, he's good. He's going to eat. He don't need money. That's pennies, son. That's bullshit. If I have an infrastructure. So these players, they chasing that money, but you really need to be chasing ownership. You really need to be chasing being able to have something of your own, then you don't need dollars.
You're absolutely right. If they were to do those things, yeah, and they would set themselves up to put them in position for longevity.
Who's stopping you?
Nobody. But you know what? There's dudes with deeper pockets than that tried that before and have failed.
Who?
You heard of the XFL? You heard of the USFL?
I heard the XFL is coming back. And I heard they about to start another league, AAFL, whatever it is. Michael Vick's an offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
so what? They created a league.
All of them are going to fail again.
No. They about to create another league.
Yo, how long did the XFL last?
I don't know, 2 years.
Exactly. You don't know. I don't even think 2 years. You know what I mean?
I think it was one season.
How long did the USFL last?
But that's not black on. That's Vince McMahon.
I'm just saying the dudes with deeper pockets that tried that move before and have failed. Yo, I'm going to do my own league, compete with the NFL. No.
He didn't fail. Like, I'm getting this trailer park money from this wrestling. I don't have time for the football league. And now he's bored again and he's bringing it back.
Yo,
it's not a failure.
It failed, bro. The XFL went bankrupt. It failed.
Nah, son, nah. And listen.
They stopped. You know why? Why would you stop something that is generating money and it's successful? You don't.
So why would
it
you bring
stopped.
It back? Why would you bring it back?
Because they see an opportunity. They bought. Of course, they can talk. You can talk that they bought. They got money to do dumb shit like that. But they are seeing the opportunity right now where people are dissatisfied with the NFL and they're going to try to get those viewerships. They're going to try to get those eyes on the product. That's all they're doing right now. That's just business. All right,
listen. They about to create another league. I think it's called the Alliance, American Alliance Football League. So listen, they are creating another league right in front of our face. What, we going to beg them for that stuff too? Yo, they won't give us a job. There's no black coach. We watching it happen before our eyes, and we going to just beg them for that piece again as opposed to turning our back and say, y'all do what y'all do. We going to do what we do. Michael Vick is an offensive coordinator. Here we go again. Michael Vick is one of the most talented. You should be owning. You should be running. You should be head coach. Here we go again. They build another league right in front of our face, and the same rat race is about to begin, and nobody wants to put their foot down. So like my man Lupe said, if we know better, then we probably deserve it. Like, listen, we know better. So whatever they going to do for you, and that's how I feel right now, F Sports, you watching it happen in front of you, you're not doing anything to change the narrative. Listen. That's all I got, son. Like,
Mike's in here smoking today, boy.
Nah, for real. That's my stance.
You're saying is wrong. You're saying a lot of respectable things.
Let me tell you a story. Real quick. Me and Fenton went out recently, and I left early. And I left him in there, right? And of course, we always worry about our people. Anything can happen on any day to anybody, right? We always... But I don't worry about Fenn because I know he knows how to navigate. I know he has the requisite skills. He knows how to move in a room full of vultures. our athletes are not getting those skills because we're never asking them to acquire them. And then ultimately, they're going to find themselves in trouble. If not today, tomorrow. If not while they're here on earth, their affairs will be in disarray when it's time to pass on something to their kids, their financial advisor. We are going to pay the price as a community, ultimately. It's all funny games now, but I sit back and I see Armageddon coming.
What you're saying is true, but you know what we're asking these athletes to do? Play a game. You know who else plays games? Kids.
No, we ask them to play life.
We're asking them to play a game. Life happens outside of sports. We're asking them to play a game.
No, life is part of sports. It's business. It's your career.
No, the business aspect of it is outside
of the
game.
It's a platform to catapult you to ultimate success.
Absolutely. But at the same time, if all you're doing in life is playing this game and your focus, your narrow focus that you need to succeed to be a professional athlete is focused on your skills in this game, I'm just saying. That's what they say.
When I was in Iraq with absolutely nothing to do, I realized how long 24 hours actually is. Like, damn, this day is long. So I don't care if you've trained 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day. There's other parts of that day where you could take care of your affairs. You can handle business. I told about P. Diddy earlier. The fire that burns is P. Diddy is because nobody handed him anything. Because he was an intern and he was fetching coffee. He like, nah, F that. So when we got these kids at 13 who think they the man, they can't succeed. I've had Aaron Judge on his podcast. That's my man, 100 grand. I love that dude. And it's not because he done hit 100 home runs. When he was a three-star athlete in high school, coming his first year, he could have played baseball, football, basketball. His first year of high school, he said, nah, man, I need to get my academics in order. That's the type of person that is, and that's why he is going straight to the top. Straight to the top of life. Forget just baseball.
And where did he learn that from? From the people around him. So like you said, like the things that happened to KG, he got robbed. Who knows what type of background or support system you got?
I'm talking to the youth coaches, to the parents. All right, you're right. That's what I'm talking to.
That's it. You know what I mean?
That's it, man. You got anything else? What you got, son?
Go Yankees.
Oh, I want to say something real quick. I got myself a new job. I am going to be an assistant basketball coach at Brooklyn College.
Can't wait to see this.
Back in the gym with the kids, man. Let me tell you about this. I'm really excited about this, man. It touched my heart. Brooklyn College reached out to me. I've said here before that I played college basketball at Kingsborough Community. Now, I wasn't one of these kids that was recruited out of high school. Like, I didn't even play high school basketball. I came straight from the Army. I walked on, didn't know what was about to happen. Yo, we ended up having a great run, man. We won 2 championships. I'm having a lot of fun. We stacking up awards. We competing against guys who went on to play at Fairleigh Dickinson, Seton Hall, Division I guys. They was coming down, and we was handing it to them. Then I moved on to New York. Then I moved on to New York, and that's when the struggles began, man. I mean, my point guard had caught a concussion like my third game. So here I am having to shoulder or carry a little bit more of the load than I had to. My junior year, I had an emergency appendectomy. I missed 7 to 10 games. But even while that's happening, I'm like, yo, I'm playing the best basketball of my life. Right? The record doesn't reflect it, but if you understand ball, if you watch and you will see that I'm putting together a Herculean effort to even make it this close. Right? Not only that, I'm at odds with my coach.
I was coaching on the sideline.
For real. I was at odds with my coach my senior year. I took off half of my senior year because they wouldn't adjust the practice schedule like I told them to do. Like, yo, we can't practice at 9 o'clock. These other kids don't go to school. I'm trying to graduate. So I said, F it. I took off my seat. We were at odds. My coach, I love him to death, great man. He ended up getting fired after my career was over because they caught him doing nefarious things. And when he got fired, I kind of felt a little bit vindicated. I try to tell y'all this was the 3-ring circus, and I was trying to play ringleader. But after my career, like after York, I was just frustrated, like, yo, F ball. I ain't coaching. I ain't doing nothing because I had to sit back and watch guys who I felt weren't as good as me get celebrated and do this. And I was stuck in, you know, a tough spot. So I'm sitting at home minding my business, and the Brooklyn College coach reaches out to me. He said, "Yo, Will, I want you to be a part of my staff." Now, you guys know me. I'm not on IG posting pictures with kids like I'm close to the game. Nah, that means I must have really been in the back of his mind. And he only knows me from being a competitor, from being on the opposite side. So for him to think of me in that regard, you know what I'm saying? It felt special. Like, he understood, like, damn, this boy is really putting us under pressure. You know what I mean? So I'm feeling good, son. That kind of made me feel like, damn, maybe what I did was appreciated. At least somebody was watching. And, yeah, we about to try to pass on some lessons to the kids, fam.
Shit. Yeah.
Here we go, son. That's WBH Radio. Thank my man, Fat Boogie. Yep. Episode 26. Making all these damn excuses for these boys, man. I don't even know who this dude is. Catch y'all next time. We out.